It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish, be right, didn't help, no name on the guest list, hold on, we're destined.
As you heard Michael Carroll tell you, we are at the DraftKings Sportsbook. We continue here at the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. And, of course, if you were here last night, and really anywhere, you got to enjoy a couple of the soccer games last night. I mean, they weren't great. Well, the Japan-Netherlands game was good. But Tunisia-Netherlands wasn't great. And it was... Sweden wasn't great. It was Japan and the Netherlands. The Tunisia-Sweden game was so bad, someone got fired. Tunisia fires their manager after their one loss. So that's close here. There's a lot of countries who have a lot of pride in airs on a stage like this, which only happens every 4 years. There will be some reactions. I was watching the bus last night about the French national team way back in 2010 and the disaster that was their tournament. Where you have protests, you have a star player getting sent home. That's the drama surrounding the World Cup, and you've already had a little bit of that regarding the Tunisian national team. Much different atmosphere and outcome Friday in L.A. as the U.S. take apart Paraguay. There's nothing more you can say other than that as far as the destruction in that game, 3-0 at the half, in the previous show, we do our "What Have You Learned" segment, and I didn't really have much to give "What Did They Miss" segment, and I didn't have much to give on that, so I went back to talking about some of the soccer and particularly what happened on Friday, and I told Sean my plan was, as far as watching the games, to watch the Spanish language teams, any country that has Spanish as a language. I was going to watch the games on Telemundo because sometimes you'll just get a person from that country as an analyst or maybe it's Andres Cantor calling the games. He also calls, at least it looks like he's going to call all the U.S. games. He's been calling U.S. games for a long while now. And you got a choice to make. Sure, Spanish might not be your first language, or maybe even a language you understand. But you also get Andres Cantor if you watch the games on Telemundo, or you get John Strong, who is, along with Stu Holden, the number one team for Fox. And I'm just going to give you the comparison. You can make your choice. What we're going to do first, Sean, let's play the John Strong call, courtesy of Fox Sports, of the third Balogun goal that made it 3-0 and really put the game away. And then we'll play the Andres Cantor call of that goal on Telemundo. Let's start with the John Strong call.
Right below us, Mauricio Pochettino.
Balogun, can he get inside? Still Balogun, Flo Balogun!
So as you'll notice, all he does is extend the last name of the goal scorer, Flo Balogun. We'll talk about him after we play. Here is the Andres Cantor call, courtesy of Telemundo.
Tillman le pica Balogun. Si quiebra y pase está. Ahí va Balogun. Está.
So, of course, you get the legendary goal call. He made that famous, and there have been variations of it, but that is the original. And you got a legend on the call. Look, there's no question who I'm watching. I mean, I only know soccer Spanish. I can recognize words because I've been watching the sport being called in that language in Spanish for really since I was a kid. So there are some words I just recognize and I know what they're talking about. Other words I'm gonna not know. Sean, you've heard both calls. I'm not suggesting you will start watching these games on Telemundo. But now that you've heard both, what's your decision as far as which is best?
John Strong, just like, sorry. I mean, this is something we also talked about, I think, after one of the shows last week. Mark Strong, you're not my dad. You're not Ian Dark. What are you doing?
Oh, Ian Dark is calling games for Fox. Yeah. Ian Dark, longtime soccer play-by-play man. For ESPN, he was the U.S. guy. He's done it with several former U.S. stars or at least former players on ESPN. Now he's doing it with Landon Donovan on FS1. But he's not getting the U.S. games. That is going to John Strong. And I wish it was Mark Strong, the actor.
Oh, did I call him Mark Strong? Sorry.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Mark Strong, great actor.
Who cares?
But what's the difference?
Anyway,
I'd rather have Mark Strong.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for John Strong calling the U.S. games because he's just – if all I'm getting is an elongated call of the guy's name, what's that doing for me? I like Stu Holden, but he's comp with the guy who's like – how did you become the voice of U.S. soccer when we have major tournaments and major matches? I'm out. Yeah, you're right. Ian Dark would have made it a tougher choice between the American or the English language broadcaster and Andres Cantor. Now it's not even a question. Give me Andres Cantor.
I wonder if there's some subconscious like English accent thing going on where it's like, I want to at least, if I'm going to hear this in English, give me an English accent. Not some dirty American.
You know what? You may be right. There is some gravitas.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
The game.
Yeah.
Yeah. If Peter Drury, one of the best in the game, was doing it, forget about it. But we don't get Peter Drury on Fox Sports, unfortunately. I think he's doing some stuff for a UK broadcaster, maybe. But we get John Strong, and you're right. Give me an English accent or something. I don't know. What I got was what I expected. John Strong is fine for a person who's just locking in on the U.S. for this World Cup. I get it. You want the English broadcast because maybe you don't know as much. No juice from that broadcast.
No.
And then you throw in Telemundo dunking on Fox Sports every time there's a hydration break. Look, we're not going anywhere. We will stay here. So you get to watch the players and the coaches talk to them as opposed to Fox Sports, who is simply just going on a break. Apparently, they said initially that what they would do is they would do a hybrid where they would go to a commercial, but you'd still be able to watch what was going on the field. That is yet to be the case. And all of the hydration breaks in this World Cup, Fox Sports has gone to commercial, which is not something soccer fans are accustomed to, but they're doing it. And the other thing bothering people is the fact that we're having hydration breaks when it's inside. Like no one under, like Virgil van Dijk, the Netherlands captain and the Liverpool defender, was like, "Why? I don't get the breaks. It's fine. The temperature's not in a spot where we need one." Like for others, and now it's me talking, no longer Virgil van Dijk. If you are in the Meadowlands and maybe it's 85 degrees, I get it. But if you're in Dallas or Houston or SoFi, what are we doing with the hydration breaks? It doesn't make any sense, and the players don't really get it. And anyone who isn't accustomed to this doesn't get it either. But there it is. But as far as what happened on Friday, a great start. You get the own goal. The second time that the Americans played a South American team in LA in a World Cup game, and you had a own goal, 2-for-2. You go back to 1994 with Colombia, and then you have it here against Paraguay, and it was a runaway after that. The U.S. probably could have put 5 on them in the first half. They do get the 3. You heard the final one of those 3 a couple minutes ago with Balogun. And that was the second of his goals in the first half. And then you had the closer with Gio Reyna with Travella, which is, it is kicking the ball to the outside of your foot. If you saw the goal, you saw the goal. It is a skill not people will try, but when you're up 3-1 and it's the last kick of the match, you try it, and he puts it away. So you close out the first half with the goal. You end the game with the goal. It was just the perfect start to a tournament that I hope, and certainly U.S. soccer fans hope, changes the way we feel about this team. There's some hope that it changes the way the country feels about the sport overall, but this team is one that does have some pressure on it, whether it is from media or from the fans or from former players who turned into media. That's where our now maybe much played Tim Weah sounder comes from. He was, when he said, I think those people are evil, he was talking about former players commenting on the team. So nothing but plaudits from the former players. The team gave everyone something to be happy about. If you are an American soccer fan now, you got Australia who won their first match in surprising fashion, what they did to Turkey. And the goals that they scored were like bolts out of the blue. They had a long ball that their forward chased down, and he scored, and then at the end of the match to put it away. It was another one. So Australia has some attacking talent. I think the U.S. will have a lot of the ball on Friday against Australia. The question will be, can they put away the chances that they did against Paraguay and keep the mistakes to a minimum? And by that, I mean losing the ball in dangerous spots where Australia can counterattack, because if they do get the ball in those dangerous spots, they have guys who can run by the U.S. defense, particularly a guy like Tim Ream, who you don't blame him. He's 38 years old. And he is a credit to him for making it to this World Cup, but he can be a liability when the U.S. doesn't have the ball. So the fact that they were so much in control of the ball against Paraguay was great. It's the first time, I think, ever maybe, that you can go into a World Cup match and think the U.S. is better with the ball and attacking than they are being a counterattacking club. So we'll see how it plays out. Certainly plenty of time before we get there, and a lot of World Cup matches to get to before we get to the U.S.'s second group stage game. So we will go to break. Eric, I see you want to talk. Anyone else can follow 713-780-3776. We'll get to anything you want to talk to. We'll get to some NBA Finals when we come back too. And I and this show has talked quite a bit, not only about the Finals, but the stuff surrounding it and at least my lack of annoyance when it came to the fans, particularly the celebrity fans, because, you know, the fans themselves, the regular ones, you have the ones who are beating up Spurs fans, and you have the ones just celebrating their team's wins. I have found the subset of Knicks celebrity fans that I'm actually bothered by, so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the game and anything else you want to get to as well. We're just getting started here. DraftKings Sportsbook here in the Golden Nugget in Lake Charles. We will be back.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
So for the people who are watching, whether it be on Twitter, the stream, or Twitch, yes, we were aware that there was this zoom in and zoom out feature. Because I'm using my laptop as opposed to the station phone because we had multiple remotes. So we didn't get to use the station phone. So I'm using my laptop. We think we have it figured out, so you won't get that zoom in and out effect depending on whether I move. If it was disconcerting to me out of the corner of my eye, I imagine it bothered you a little bit too. So hopefully we have that figured out. But we do have a couple calls as well. Let's get to Eric first, and then we'll get to Lazy J. What's up, Eric?
Hey, though. Yeah, I was at the Germany game yesterday. It was awesome. I was scared at first when Curacao scored, but then the German blitzkrieg came and took care of them. Also, you got Mexico and Korea coming up. Who do you have in that? And I also like the adult films commercials better than the collector firearms commercials. I think they're so much better. I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Eric. Chance McClain will appreciate the compliment. As far as, I don't know why you were afraid. Did you have money on Germany, or are you just a fan of the Germans? Kurzhaus scored a goal, and it got that place, at least the Kurzhaus section of Houston Stadium, as it's being called, for the World Cup, excited. It wasn't ever going to be a match where I think that the Germans were really challenged. But for a little bit, Kurzhaus pushed forward at times. They were not afraid to get after the Germans a little bit. It's just that there was just a giant talent discrepancy, and you saw that in the final score. And you start to think about these games, and I think I mentioned it on the previous show, for a team like Germany, they expect much tougher games, not only in the group stage, but also as they hope to advance forward in a tournament that they haven't gotten out of the group stage in the last two World Cups, which is, while we talk about Italy as far as not making it to the World Cup, the Germans and their inability to get out of the group stage, and you heard Eric mention Korea and Mexico, part of the reasons the Germans didn't make it out of a group stage is because they were in a group of Korea and Mexico. So in one of these World Cups. So they were looking to make a statement. It is a team that certainly has some stars. They aren't looked at as one of the favorites, but I'm not surprised that score got to where it got, because when you do have tougher matchups that you expect, some of these guys aren't going to get to play. It's just how it goes. You rotate in these games as far as your players when you have a weaker opponent, and that's what the Germans did. They played plenty of guys, and a lot of guys scored goals. Maybe the one time they're going to score a goal in the World Cup, if they don't get out there on the field, or it's just that they're playing tougher competition. So they did what they did, and of course Sweden did what they did to Tunisia, beat them 5. What was it? Did it wind up 5-1, and they got the Tunisian manager fired. So as far as Korea and Mexico, they have a history where the two nations, at least the fan bases, love each other, because Korea, in one of the World Cups that Germany didn't advance in, beat Germany, and not only did it help them advance, it helped Mexico advance, I believe. So there is some randomness as far as these narratives, and in this case, it's a little less random because of these two teams have been in groups before. They've played in big games against each other before, and they've also have two fan bases that are actually pretty fond of each other because of what the South Koreans were able to do to help Mexico advance. So, and also beyond the fact that Mexico's the host and they're at home, Korea generally plays banger World Cup games. They played a great one in their first group. You go back to the last couple World Cups, they've been in some very dramatic matches as a nation. And then you go all the way back to their 2002 surprise run when they were one of the host nations along with Japan. So Korea, Mexico, that should be fun. Mexico needs to be better than they were against South Africa. I do not believe Korea is going to make the same early mistake that South Africa did to give Mexico a jump start to their World Cup. So that is one to look forward to as far as potential classics for the group stage. Korea just simply plays these matches where they provide an excitement factor that you don't see a lot. So Mexico, Korea should be one to look forward to. Let's get to Lazy J. I believe he called into the morning show. He wasn't able to get on, but he's here with us now. What's up, Lazy J?
Yeah, what's going on, brother? Yeah, man, I want to get in and talk some soccer. Yeah, it's definitely going to be a lot of Korean and Mexican babies being made Thursday night after the game. I can't wait for that game to come on. But I want to get in and talk some U.S. soccer. Man, y'all need to relax. Paraguay hasn't been in the World Cup in 16 years. That team is ass. And first of all, I think 4 of y'all starters are immigrants, right, from the U.S.? They weren't born here, right?
Four,
right? And then there's 6 that are first generation Americans, right? Like their parents were immigrants, right? So, what's your thoughts? What do you think Donald Trump is saying right now? And then your little brother scored the first goal, you know, Nigeria, you know what I'm saying? Your little brother scored it. I like that. What you think about that?
Flo Balogun's not my little brother, but yes, the story about Flo Balogun is his mother was visiting the country, and she's Nigerian, and she was going to fly back, but she could not. The airlines wouldn't let her because she was so far along that she had her child Flo here. So I believe that's called birthright citizenship. So he had the opportunity to play for the U.S., Nigeria, or England, where he grew up. As we talked about it on Friday, and Lazy J just mentioned, you have players on this team, star players, at least in their starting 11, who, for the most part, didn't spend the majority of their lives here. And the most time they spend in America, they're not visiting on vacation, is when they play for the national team. They don't live here or didn't live here as kids. Like a lot of players now don't live here because they play in leagues around the world. In fact, the U.S. has more players in the top leagues in the world than Brazil does. I think the number's like 15 to 14. I think I saw that. So that speaks to the level of quality this U.S. team can put out there. And yeah, Balogun, Anthony Robinson, and Serginho Dest, three guys who grew up abroad, and then you have guys like. Gio Reyna, he is one of the, I guess you want to say, I guess, Nepo baby, you want to call it, whatever. He's a son of a former U.S. player, but he was not born here. Now he spent more time here than others, but yeah, it's the world today. I talked about it with John and Lance. The next team up for them is Australia, and the guy who scored their first goal for them, his parents are from Burundi. You look across rosters in the World Cup, and you are going to see players that either didn't grow up in the country that they're representing, or are certainly have parents who didn't grow up there. It is what it is, and I don't think about what Donald Trump is thinking. I mean, he had a big night himself last night at UFC 250. So, the stories of the U.S. are not just U.S. stories. The whole world. Has these stories as far as the players are concerned. I think Haiti's issues go beyond just are not simply, oh, okay, a player didn't live in Haiti. Their coach didn't step foot in Haiti because of the unrest and even some of the infrastructure. So the coach for Haiti never has set foot in the country. You're going to see these stories across the world. You have a Moroccan player who started for them against Brazil. He was the captain for one of the French youth squads, didn't get selected for the World Cup, and said, you know what? I want to play for Morocco because I want to play in this World Cup. There's no guarantee I will be able to play for France in 4 years. So now he's playing for Morocco. A player who scored for Sweden, I believe he might have done it twice yesterday. He is of Tunisian and Moroccan descent. So he did not celebrate his first goal because he wanted to pay respect to the country. I don't know if his father or his mom is from Tunisia, but he wanted to pay respect to that country, so he didn't celebrate wildly. When he scored a great second goal, he did celebrate. So these
yeah,
are
there we go.
Yeah, he was like, all right, I paid my respects with goal one, but goal two, let me show out a little bit because this one was too good. So
yeah, I really enjoyed him not celebrating. A World Cup goal.
He puts his arms up. I mean, that's generally reserved for club stuff. Like if you're a long-standing member of one club, and then you move on, then you don't celebrate too hard. You don't want to piss off all the fans that support you. I didn't know. I guess I kind of knew it would extend to world soccer, but I did appreciate. Hey, one, that's fine. But if I get to two,
yeah,
I got to show a little emotion.
And let me. I know it's a long way to go. This will have to happen deep in the knockout rounds. Balogun, Anthony Robinson, if you score against England, go just celebrate.
You better.
All right, you better celebrate.
Yeah, stop it.
I don't want the respect palms up.
I don't want it. Like, if you score in a knockout round game on U.S. soil against the English, let's not play this, hey, guys, I really, look, I know I'm talking like this. I play in London. No. No, Balogun, he plays in France for now. Who knows where he's going to move to if he continues to continues what he's doing after that start. Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But,
Get Mbappe out of there. It's Balogun
like, because then you have John Strong having to explain to Americans why Balogun or Anthony Robbins is not celebrating a goal. And, well, why are they doing the hands-up thing? I mean, who wants that? Who needs all that? So let's hope that your scenario plays out, and let's hope they celebrate like crazy.
The semifinals? Yeah.
Yeah, let's pull Emmanuel Adebayor, where you sprint from one end. If you don't know the story, Emmanuel Adebayor played for Arsenal for a long time, then went to Man City. His departure didn't go great. So when he scored a goal against them at the opposite end from where the Arsenal fan was, it was in Man City Stadium, he sprinted towards the Arsenal fans and did a soccer slide celebration right in front of them all, and they start throwing bottles and stuff at him. So I would like that from Robinson or Balogun. Go find the English crowd if you must and taunt them. But we're not doing the palms up thing. If you score a goal for your country in a World Cup potential semifinal, we can only dream. All right, we'll go to break with back. We'll continue to take calls. Of course, if the calls lead to more soccer, we're more than happy to do that. But we'll get to the NBA Finals and what happened. Although what happened on Saturday had happened throughout the series, and it just closed out the finals in a way that all the games went as far as Knicks wins. The Spurs take a lead, and then they fell apart. We'll get to that, and we'll get to the subset of Knicks fans that I actually do have a problem with, beyond the ones who beat up people. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
And because we can't just let Lazy J say whatever he wants without pushing back, sure, Paraguay hasn't been in a World Cup in a long time, but all we can go by is what they were up to recently, and they had wins in qualifying over Brazil and Argentina, and they didn't give up a lot of goals. So we'll take it. And as Sean rightly pointed out, we don't put up four goals against mid-tier CONCACAF opponents. We know the history of Panama and what they've done to us, and even in the World Cups in the past, scoring one goal against Iran to get through, going back to 2010, needing a goal against Algeria to get through. Most goals ever scored by a U.S. side, at least men's side, let's be clear. Let's honor the women for what they've done. They're certainly a dominant force. Most goals scored by a men's side in a World Cup. Ain't no way you're going to bleep on that and make us feel bad about it, Lazy J. Root on Mexico. Hopefully they can get their win against Korea. Although, for you, I like the Korean net. I like Korea, the Korea team, so I'll be rooting for them. All right, let's get to the finals. Knicks win in five. We thought this series deserved six. We didn't get it because the Spurs were up to their old shenanigans. All four games. Well, was it all five games? They had a double-digit lead. And in four of them, they found a way to lose. The biggest one was up by 29 and blowing that one. But, hey, you're at home again. You're up double digits in the first half. And it just slowly melts away. So that game was on Saturday, so there was other things to watch if you were a soccer fan. So I was talking to someone, we were texting back and forth, and she asked me, are you watching the finals? And I go, no, I'll turn back as soon as the inevitable Spurs collapse happens. Like, I was like, because you kind of just knew. The Spurs were up by 15, 16 in the first half, and I was like, you know what, I'll watch this match, and then if the Knicks come back, then I'll flip over. And, of course, they did it. They just slowly hawked the Spurs down. And when it came down to it, you could place blame across that roster for the Spurs. You have Wimby tiring out, which has been a point of contention. If you're a non-Wimby fan, you keep pointing to how they get out in the first half, and then there's just not a lot left. I don't know if the Spurs can't pace themselves, or they're so energized by the start that they really want to establish control. That had been the case over the course of the first four games. and they just cannot sustain it. Wimby, what did he have, like three or four blocks in the first 5 or 6 minutes of the game? He was a dominant force defensively. The Knicks decided to go after him, and he responded. But at some point, that energy wanes, and it's not just him. It was across the entire Spurs team. And Jalen Brunson, who we were questioning whether OG would win the MVP if he had another great game. He did not have another great game. Jalen Brunson goes for, what, 45 to put the Knicks on his back and go win Finals MVP, win the title, and the Knicks win. And credit to them, because not just the players themselves, but the management for finally getting serious and maybe minimizing the impact of James Dolan. And they made moves that were certainly questioned. You're giving up all the picks for Mikal Bridges. You're trading Julius Randle, who had helped you become respectable, for Karl-Anthony Towns, who's coming off a poor playoff run. And then the biggest one that was validated really quickly was the Jalen Brunson contract, the first one, and then they rightfully paid him again, and he has become a star. And the Becky Hammon quote, which will live on, he disproved that. He was asked about it, not necessarily specifically about her, but the doubters, and he said, "I didn't listen to him then. Why would I listen to him now? Or why would I comment on them now? I didn't comment on them then." So his story, he's listed at like 6'2". No one really believes that. Being the guy who leads the Knicks to the finals, with him acquiring OG, trading for Karl-Anthony Towns, Mikal Bridges, it was smart from the beginning, and it is proof that there is no one way to go build a title team. The Thunder, the most recent title winner before the Knicks, made a great trade for a player no one thought would reach the level that he reached, and then they did all the drafting. Of course, they wanted to be bad for years, and then they got the players they wanted and eventually decided it was time to win, and they did it thanks to the emergence of Shea. And the year before that, it's the Celtics with their two top five picks, and then 2023 is the Nuggets with a second-round pick becoming the best player in the world. So there is no set way to do it. And when you think about the team here in Houston, they've tried. Now they've done the hybrid where they have been bad for several years. They've drafted high. They pick players who have either exceeded expectations, like Alperen Şengün, or a player like Amen Thompson, who is still rising. And we don't really know what his ceiling is. We know there's a big obstacle as far as what he can be, and that's the development of a consistent jumper. And we'll see where that goes. The Reed Shepard thing, that may be a miss, we'll see, considering the guy behind him is Stephon Castle. But overall, there's no right or wrong way. So that opens it up for teams, and who you don't have to be bad, or at least you don't have to be bad consistently to get it done. And we'll see. The Rockets have done being bad. They're done being bad. We'll see if there's another move this offseason that can elevate them. But as far as the Spurs, Sean and I have talked about who would lean in to being the Skip Bayless of this era for Wimby. Skip did it with LeBron to great effect. Maybe it's just going to be Skip Bayless. Sean, do you know what nickname he's come up with for Victor Wembanyama? And honestly, I can't. Look, Skip takes his shots. He's not without criticism, but this one is a 30 yard out free kick is what it is. This is a upper corner David Beckham style free kick, or Messi style free kick. The nickname I'm referring to is Victim Wembanyama. Come on,
that's a good one.
Skip,
that's
still got
a
it.
Good one.
He still got it.
Yeah, because I thought he was going to go something with Wembanyama. No, that's so, how he gets you. He goes Victim instead of Victor.
Victim wow. Wembanyama. Look, yeah. I mean,
from the creator of Bosch Spice, he still got it. 15 years later.
I don't remember the one he had for LeBron. Did he have one? I mean, LeBrick, is that his? I don't remember.
I don't know. Yeah, LeBum.
LeBum, maybe. I feel like that's a internet person who came up with that, but maybe
he's definitely
he did
someone who doesn't have to ever look at LeBron James in person.
Yes. I don't know who came up with that, but Victim Wembanyama is a good one. And Wimby, he is someone who is leaning, I don't know if he's leaning into it, but his actions have made him easy to be targeted as a villain. And maybe he's comfortable in that role. But at, 22 years old, there was a lot of confidence, and some people saw it as arrogance from him. And some people think he got his comeuppance or just desserts, whatever you want to call it. But the Spurs go down, and they don't appear to be a reactionary franchise. So all the calls for Miss Johnson to get fired, those appear to be falling on deaf ears as far as it comes, to the Spurs. But they're not going anywhere. The Thunder aren't going anywhere, and it's going to be a tough West. It'll continue to be that. And it's one of the reasons one of the best players in the world may stay out East. Giannis doesn't want any part of this conference, and it appears for the most part the contenders in this conference don't really want to devote resources to him. The Thunder aren't going to trade for him. It looks like the Spurs won't. And to this point, we have not heard anything about the Rockets or anyone else. It looks like Portland would want him, but he doesn't want to be there. And Golden State may be another one of those teams who wants him, but he doesn't want them. So the West, thankfully, won't add another top five player in the world to the conference, it looks like. But I think it's strong enough that it doesn't need him. And that's the mountain the Rockets have to climb. But you know what? Rooting against the Spurs was fun. The problem was the other side of the coin, and not the Knicks themselves. They're fine. Don't have any issues with any of the Knicks. But Knicks fans did the thing where they beat people up. Someone got stabbed in the post game celebrations. But that bad behavior by the regular folk of a fan base, I've come to expect. I talked about where I don't have a real issue of celebrity Knicks fan, except for the subset. You know, if you're from New York and you're a celebrity and you want to root for the team, cool. That happens. Art said Frankie Granados is the worst of the worst because she doesn't care about the Knicks until they start to win. That happens. I mean, I don't really have any problem with that. You've got Timmy, you've got Ben Stiller, whatever, fine, whatever. Anne Hathaway, Alexandra Daddario, from New York, she was born there. She wants to root for the next school. But you're going to get a taste of it after this show's over. The sports, if you want to call them celebrity, but the sports journalist, analyst, celebrity who's a Knicks fan, I can't deal with it. Rich Eisen's coming up next. He's one of them. Sean gets a taste of it, really, every day.
It's been a tough basketball
season.
It's tough.
And then you throw in Stephen A. on this morning. It's they're the worst. The celebrity sports, that combo, who's normally you would consider an unbiased observer. Yeah. But when it comes to their favorite team, they're so over the top with it. It's a tough thing. And like the Bill Simmons effect, but now we're gonna get it with the Knicks, and unfortunately for us, we're gonna get it at least for I don't know when Rich Eisen will let it go. He may never. There may be references to the Knicks.
There'll be a couple
for the entirety of his time on 97.5.
Yeah, no, it'll be a while. It is funny though with Rich Eisen. It's like, between the Jets and the Knicks, I never thought that it would actually
that this day would ever come.
I never thought it would happen. Even Michigan, like until what, 2022, it seemed unlikely that would ever happen. So
yeah, you know, yeah, big, the football team certainly, yeah,
yeah, big.
And now we got basketball.
Yeah, basketball. Yeah, you know, even then, you know.
Well, they had trade. Yeah, they had the B-line teams were cool, and then you know they made the mistake of hiring Juwan Howard, but they immediately corrected it, and they got Dusty May in there, and then they go win a title. Yeah, Stephen A. can't even wear a hat properly. He was on First Take, and he had like he doesn't know that your ears aren't supposed to be pushed down by the hat. No one, I know it's a snapback. Find a way to make that thing fit. It wasn't fitted. You can find a way to make that fit where your ears aren't depressed like your Dobby the house elf. I mean. That's an odd reference on people. That's just what I saw.
If you know who
Dobby the House Elf is, his ears are like kind of pushed down, but that's a natural thing for an elf. Stephen A. did it to his own ears by putting that. He can't even wear a hat, right? That's look. Knick fans don't like him because they don't want him around. Cool, I get it. You don't want someone who only wants to come around or talk about the team in a positive way when things are going great. Understood. And there's all the things to Stephen A. Smith. But the man can't even put on a hat right. That's a problem.
I'm seeing it now. It doesn't look good.
Yeah.
Doesn't look good for me.
Now he doesn't have the hat on, at least currently, at least in this version, the first take that I'm watching, because he's now not talking about the Knicks anymore. But it's tough. Like, New York media is everywhere anyway. I can't deal with what Boston winning did for sports media, where we couldn't get away from those guys.
Yeah.
Like, of course, I already mentioned the biggest name, but there are others. It's the Patriots winning and the Red Sox winning made it all important that you heard from Boston people, and now they're everywhere. Look, Houston at a time had a real influx of Syracuse people because of Syracuse's J school or whatever, so there was a lot of people coming out of that school who got jobs around the country, and some of them came here, and there are certainly famous ones around the country. But if they're just going to be Knick fans popping up who become giant members of the sports media, I will regret rooting against the Spurs, because I don't know anyone from San Antonio other than like Shea Serrano. So who cares if we get a couple more San Antonio people who get to talk about the Spurs? Like, it's Shea Serrano, what, Michelle Beadle? Those are the two most prominent
media types, yeah.
Yeah, media type Spurs fans. There are Knick fans everywhere in all walks of media, and we're not going to get rid of them for at least a while now. And look, one title, we may not have to suffer. But if I don't believe it'll happen, but if this somehow extends to the Knicks put together a couple titles in like 3 or 4 years, we're stuck with these people forever. And just think, like, people are talking about the World Cup as the potential for changing generations of soccer fans in this country and what it might mean for the growth of soccer. Think of it like that. If the Knicks keep winning, how many more Knick media members will be a prominent part of our lives? And if that isn't reason enough to root against the Knicks going forward, I don't know what is. Give them their one, because it means the Spurs don't get it. But after that, it's over. They're not going to like revert back to being terrible because Jalen Brunson exists and they still got good players. But you know, a couple second round exits, some questions about Mike Brown at some point. That's what I'm looking for. I don't need this birthing more Rich Eisens. It won't be good.
Nothing gets Rich specifically.
Yeah, look, Rich is fine, other than when he's talking about his favorite teams.
Yeah.
But you don't want the New York version of what we got with Boston.
No.
Because
God, no.
Those two cities, they already rule over kind of sports media as far as the national media is concerned. But you throw New Yorkers having something to be proud of, forget about it. Right now,
is the problem simplified? New Yorkers having something to be proud of is a problem. It's so annoying.
We see what if you want to call them this, the regular New York fan is like when they have something to be excited about and be proud of. But if you're not watching social media, you can decide not to see Knick fans acting poorly. If you love sports talk, if you just love all the things surrounding sports, and we now don't have the ability to ignore New York sports conversations. Beat it. Just get it out of my face. I need it to end. I need this to be the one run. I need this to continue to follow the trend of champions, where we haven't had a repeat champion since those Kevin Durant Warriors teams. Let's go. I don't know who it needs to be. Maybe it's the Rockets.
Yeah, that's who it needs to be.
It's
some Rockets fans being annoying. I want to annoy America.
Oh, do you think you can use a Rockets title to propel yourself into, you know how it starts? ESPN 975, Sean Mapes joins insert national show to talk about the Rockets title. That's how it all begins.
Yeah.
First, they're contributors to other shows, and then they do a good enough job that they become more permanent fixtures and then maybe a host.
Yeah. What Nick Wright did with the Chiefs.
Yeah. 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 From Houston, he did
from
that.
From Houston.
So he wasn't even talking about the team that he would cover on a daily basis.
Yeah, the path is there.
And he became the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sean, just think. Oh, look, you got
a good
Longhorn squad.
I already have the hair.
He had to grow that hair when he was 40. See, that's the thing, though. For you, you need to do the reverse Nick Wright.
Cut the hair? Get more.
And not just cut the hair. You get the facial hair, and you go to a black barber to get your haircuts. You pull the entire Nick Wright. I'm not saying you have to, you know, marry a black woman or anything, but what I'm saying is
that'd be too far.
You love who you love. Oh,
but just
yeah. If you just decided to clean it
of
up,
Nick Wright.
Yes,
that would be.
Sean's like, hey, you go too far.
Hey, take it easy, Del.
What he's saying, everyone. He's not that Australian ref, the VAR ref. What he's saying is, you don't need to mimic Nick Wright all the way. But I think find yourself a barbershop that has cuts in it with a Z, and then keep it moving. But first, establish yourself as the go to for Houston coverage, and you already have the ESPN brand behind you.
Yes. I just need
that's how it goes.
I just need to work on the annoying part and the
well first
and the haircut.
The team has to win.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah,
that would help.
You do the Rocket Power podcast, but the team needs to win for people to want to talk nastily to the people from the Rocket Power podcast. And even if they ask for Joe, you always tell people Joe's unavailable.
Oh yeah, so he's busy. You know how many hats he wears around the station? I'm available though. I'm free.
Oh, yeah, this is how you set it up. So. I mentioned the Australian ref. If you missed it, there's a referee of he was in the VAR booth, and he might have thrown up a white power sign, and he did it. He tried to do it discreetly by doing the sign right next to his leg. So if you just hear the story, like whatever, maybe he's doing the OK symbol. Not when you see the picture. It's going to be tough for him. And they've asked for an explanation. FIFA has. Good luck, buddy. Good luck with that. So. The World Cup provides many stories, and right now it'll be Spain versus Cape Verde. That's coming up here, or Cabo Verde. That's coming up here shortly. We'll go to break. Hour one done, hour two when we come back. We're still taking calls, 713-780-3776 if you want to join us. We'll talk some Astros. Oh, they had a weekend, and by that, they had a weekend. They go from scoring all the runs to scoring none of the runs. And we've got an update on Hunter Brown and some of the regression surrounding Spencer Arrighetti. But before we go, I did want to mention this. Our next soccer watch party is this Tuesday at Ducky McSweeney's. Join Will Kunkel from 12 to 3 and Jeremy and Joe from 3 to 6. So that'll be tomorrow. And then on Wednesday, we will be at Watson's House of Ales from 12 to 6. And you'll have the chance to win a $500 gift certificate to Republic Boot Company. Just find our promo team on Wednesday to register. The winner will be announced at 5:30, and the winner will not have to be present at the time of the drawing. So you can show up, sign up, and then if you got something to do, we'll contact you if you're the winner. So don't worry about having to stay there if you can't. All right, we'll go to break with that. Hour two when we come back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.